Chapter 4. Weirdo Academics. When I got home, it wasn't as late as I thought. I sat at the kitchen table and looked out at the moon. It was sinister now, mocking me with impassive mooniness. Christ, I needed rest. Rest and something or somebody to wake me up from the dream world I'd been woven, drawn, sewn into. I tried Lena again, but no good. I went to bed again. Sleep was elusive, my mind was in a washing machine. Images kept tumbling under and over one another. The film, the visit to Frank's, the moon. They all got jumbled up until I almost believed that the visit to Frank's was a scene from the movie. I got out of bed and wandered into the cold front room. There was that fucking moon again, streaming through the curtains, lighting up my laptop. Okay, I get it. I get it, moon. There must be something out there, in here, something in here, in this box of digital magic, I thought. So how about those bleeders who saw Drive Shaft that night? Had fallen victim to its power, through their noses, literally. Surely one of those 17 punters at the Ritzy with Frank back in November 88 had posted something somewhere, surely. I fed ludicrous lines into the interweb, again. Words and phrases that might dredge Drive Shaft up from its mysterious murky depths. Nose blood fest, nosebleeds at cinemas, ritzy cult night horror, public nosebleeds, cult this, cult that, drive this, drive that, shaft this, shaft that. I went deep into the heart of the web. But no joy. I'd done this before, I reminded myself. What's the fucking point? I was starting to flag and droop when I pulled out my joker. How about weirdo academics? Horror movies seem to attract them. Boom, a new lifeline. I happened across some horror dissertations on a university website. There were some wacky titles, one that I thought might bear fruit. Blood for Sale, the neo-vampire movie, as critique of mass consumerism. But no Drive Shaft. Then I spotted Patriarchy on the Rack, 1970s cult horror and the rise of the second wave by Catherine Blake. And there, waiting patiently on page 13, was a chunky extract about Drive Shaft. I'd actually tracked something down. It felt great. I pumped a fist and whooped. The rise of the second wave of feminism, then, seemed to be pushing representations of patriarchy to commit ever more heinous acts against women. This was even, or maybe especially the case, in maverick or outlier horror productions of the 70s, such as Drive Shaft, where patriarchy is at its most sinister, sadistic, and vengeful. Oppressive masculinity comes in the shape of a vampiric car. Margot Kidder, to an extent, reprises Janet Leigh's role as Marion Crane from Psycho. Kidder's character, Margot, I am leaving her status as an alien out of the analysis, takes a step further than Leigh's Crane. Instead of merely stealing from her chauvinistic employer, Margot kills hers. During her escape, another male character, this time a benevolent one, goes and dies on her, so she is forced to hitch a lift, traditionally a recipe for disaster in the horror film. The driver who picks her up is a distraught woman who jumps out of the car when Margot enters. Margot is then pinned into her seat by a demonic seatbelt. Later in the journey, syringes pop out of the headrest and footrest. The syringes, as they did to the original driver, take blood from Margot's neck and legs. We also find out that the car is straight and only accepts female passengers, so women are being sucked dry by the roving vampire car, an attractive light blue Mustang with a white roof. The car seems an apt metaphor here. During the 1970s, the import of ostentatious European sports cars such as Ferraris, Lamborghinis and Lotuses was on the rise, as were souped-up versions of classic American favourites like Mustangs and Thunderbirds. The car was also seen not only as a status symbol for men, but was often equated with masculinity and/or sexual prowess. After all, fewer women drove during the 1970s. And there were numerous stock jokes about their apparent dubious ability behind the wheel. In fact, during this period, one was more likely to see an image of a woman draped over a car in a bikini rather than driving one. The penetration by the syringes has obvious connotations to the act of rape, yet the extraction of blood takes us into the neo-vampire territory. George A. Romero's Martin is a good example of this genre, where contemporary social issues are arguably more prevalent than in more traditional bloodsucker flicks like the Hammer series. In Driveshaft, the women who get into the car literally have the lifeblood sucked out of them. In Margot's case, we see a female who has transgressed. Not only has she killed her boss, but she also has the temerity to be a lesbian. The lesbian love scene in Driveshaft is, to say the least, unusual for an ex-certificated horror movie. It is arguably pornography. I could not track down any reviews or articles on Driveshaft, but I would presume that many feminists would view the love scene as gratuitous and designed to titillate a male audience. But I think it is used to highlight that Margot and Eve are on the margins of patriarchal, conservative society, and therefore need to be punished doubly for the murder of a powerful male, as well as for their sexuality. Not only can this bitch drive, but she kills men and loves women. She really has to go. She is an outlaw and an outlier who cannot be allowed to escape the clutches of convention. As the ultimate other, she must be eradicated by patriarchy. Footnote: could also see the scene as a powerful sideswipe at conservative patriarchal forces within mainstream filmmaking of the time. But no information available on writer or director. Name of director unknown.
I wondered if Catherine Blake had seen the same version of Driveshaft as me and Lena.